Like to consider with you this morning the wonderful truth of the Good Shepherd Jesus, the abundant life he gives, something I think is fitting for us to remember always, but also as we begin a new year in the Lord's house and from day to day living unto him, we have abundant life. And that's why Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has come and laid down his life, that we might have that abundant life. And so we go to that Good Shepherd chapter in John 10, and we read together this morning from the first 18 verses of John 10. And Jesus, never needing to back up what he says, nevertheless, for our sake, says things like amen and amen, and verily I say unto you, or John 10, verse 1, most assuredly I say to you, these things that follow. And again, we're reminded that Jesus came as this wonderful word from heaven, as we heard on reflecting on Christmas Day. He came, but to minister himself and his word. This is the prayer of your servant always, that I would not only have the word in my heart, but able to minister it the best way possible as the sheep that you are and that I am and need to hear Jesus. So John 10, most assuredly, Jesus says, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. And Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Thus far we read the Word of God. You'll note the response in the next verse was that when Jesus spoke, there was a division again among the Jews. Jesus came to divide, that is, to get people to thinking so that they had to take a stance either for or against him. And that's what happens when the preaching of the gospel goes forth. There's division among the sheep and among the goats. And God bless us to have the ears of sheep and be united as we hear this word. And also this sermon that I would bring to you, John 10, verse 10. I have come, and this is the last part of this verse, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Jesus' words to us today. Now, we know, and very clearly this is set forth in John 10, Jesus is the good shepherd. And He's an amazing shepherd who is always also as well the door to the sheepfold, as he says. He introduces himself in these ways, I believe, to remind everybody that he is the only way to God. Whether you call him the door or the gates of righteousness, as there may be an allusion to that in the Old Testament, whether you call him the sheep the shepherd, Jesus is this one of the sheep who is the savior of the sheep. He's the good shepherd. He does it all. He guides them, he guards them, he protects them, he saves them. In fact, as he says here in our text, he has come to give life to the sheep versus the thieves and the robbers who would destroy and fleece the sheep and scatter them. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Yes, Jesus, the good shepherd, dear ones, he comes to give the good life. Jesus, the abundant shepherd, comes to give the abundant life. This is what we need to hear always, and as we begin another year, the year of our Lord 2014. You see, I'm anticipating, and I hope it's not just me, I hope that you can look forward to this, that there's going to be temptations in this year, 2014. There's going to be temptations to us, and surely there already have been. Temptations to seek, and they always center on this, to seek another life. Or maybe some kind of blessedness that people offer us to lead another life than the life that's the abundant life that Jesus gives. Or maybe there will be the temptation to lead two kinds of lives. Maybe one in public as a professing Christian. Maybe one in private as someone who's a hypocrite and who's seeking the abundance of life or life itself in whatever people find their life in and their blessing in our day. We want to hear the word, the powerful, illustrious, saving, sheep-gathering word of Jesus as we begin this year. And right here in God's house, you've heard it here, of the abundant life. Let's hear what Jesus would say. Hear him and follow him and be glad. So first of all, as we consider that Jesus has come for the abundant life, let's just think for a few moments on this life that he gives. It truly is the life, not the life that's offered down the road or in Hollywood. It's the life that Jesus gives, called the abundant life. Secondly, he says that he has come that we may have this life. Well, let's consider then how we have this life. And then finally, let's consider what it is this life will look like as we live in 2014, the abundant life. Well, it's not hard to find that even in our passage here before us, that when Jesus is speaking about life, he's come to give life, an abundant life, he's speaking of the life that's eternal. If you go down to verse 28 in the passage, he says, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And I believe there that though Jesus is referring in that passage to the duration of our life, the preservation of the saints, nevertheless, he's alluding to this fact, and it's always in the concept eternal life, of equality. And that's brought out in the words abundant life that Jesus says he gives to us. A quality, a kind of life, not just seconds and minutes and months and years, maybe as we think of the calendar 2014. Think of quality of life. So Jesus is saying, I give this quality, this kind of life. Yes, it is everlasting, in fact, in duration. But first of all, think of the kind of life that you have even now through faith in me. And this life we know is fellowship with God, called knowing God. As Jesus says in John 17, this is eternal life, that they may know you and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. The knowledge of God, knowing with all our being, being assured that there is this God, and knowing, which is in the Bible, this love knowledge. God knows us before the foundation of the world and chooses us in everlasting counsels of love. Jesus knows the sheep and calls them by name. That's the love language of God. That's the foreknowledge of God. He loves us before. He loves us in anticipation of our every need and in the provision of it. This fellowship with God is love. The love of God to us and we to Him. That's the abundant life with all the blessings of that fellowship. You know what that is. We hear that from Sunday to Sunday. You know of that in the scriptures that you read as a prophet and a priest and a king, as a reader, as a Christian. What Jesus gives is the life of forgiveness. What Jesus comes that we may have is the life of holiness and liberty. It's the freeing of the shackles of bad habits and inclination, of bad conversation, of bad use of the technology of the world or the abuse of it. He gives us to be freed from these things that would enslave us to even the working and power of Satan. So liberation, which is called a lifting off of the guilt, and also a liberation, which is the lifting off of the bondage of sin. That's what the life is. Life is not going in ruts. Life is not walking around fearing God and trembling because you think that you're guilty or because you are guilty. That's death. Living in fear that way is death. But Jesus has come and gives life abundant. That is this wonderful, exhilarating liberation from the fear of death and death itself. It is to be with God. It is to be brought back to God, not back even to a first paradise of Adam and Eve, but to the paradisical existence of being now on the other side of Calvary in the resurrection with God through Jesus Christ. The anticipation of heaven is what the abundant life is all about. And it's truly abundant. The word means full, overflowing. Sometimes it's used to compare some things with others. Sometimes it's used to describe what's left, like the 12 baskets full that were left after Jesus fed the 5,000. They were the abundance of that feeding, the leftovers. Well, the way that it's used here and in other places of the scripture is simply to describe this, that the life that God gives is so filling that we're filled to overflowing. Sometimes I think, and I have to work on this in this year, that we can look at our lives as this cup that we have to drink, and it's full of suffering. And we've all had our portion, and some even of the young children and young people of this congregation have had a portion of suffering. Well, we have a cup of suffering then. That's how the Bible describes that portion that we have to suffer. Well, to look at that is to, and to drink that can be, well, discouraging, isn't it? But you see what Jesus is saying here, and he says this in other places, for example, when he says, I have come that your joy might be full, is that you can look at life from the perspective of the abundance that you have. That's for the thankful heart. That's for the joyful heart. That's so that we truly understand that there is this Mount Calvary that does away with the condemnation of Mount Sinai. That's where we look to heaven's mount. And we have this perspective going into 2014 that God is king, and God is king forever. And God is king of January and February and March and all the way to December if he tarries. God is the king of eternity. You see, this abundant life is not necessarily a long life. Nor is it necessarily a life free from pain and sickness and surgery and sorrow. In fact, I could even promise you it's not that kind of a life, the abundant life that Jesus gives. Life as a Christian is not life as a rose without thorns. Life as a Christian is not a stroll in the park. It is a fight. It is where we engage in pugilism, fighting. It is a soldiering on. It is a bearing of a cross. It is self-denial. It is meeting with the Lord and then going into the world and meeting the persecutors and the deniers and the culprits and the thieves and the robbers. Yes. But Jesus says still, I have come that they may have abundant life. And don't you think he accomplished what he set out to do and to give? Jesus says this, I have come that they may have abundant or have life and that they may have it more abundant. You think that Jesus fell short in his goal? That's what he's expressing here. I've come that the sheep might have life and have it abundantly. You think maybe he just came and we live, but we don't have it abundantly? Do you think that Jesus here is just stating some kind of New Year's resolution or Passover resolution? Like we often do here, I'm resolved, and then we fall short. And we're still overweight, or we're still those who are given to this or that habit, and the resolutions are, they fall flat. Do you think that's with Jesus? I don't. Because the Bible says, and Jesus says, I have come that they may have life, and they may have it abundantly, and it's sure. Now, from a shepherd's perspective, I want to share with you from the Old Testament shepherd chapter, Psalm 23. And there are other Old Testament shepherd chapters, but Psalm 23 is so well known. Psalm 23 reminds us of the abundances of the life that Jesus would give. And I just want quickly to bring them to you so you think about those five aspects of the abundant life. First of all, you know, Psalm 23 starts out, the Lord is my shepherd, what? I shall not want. Now you see there what the psalmist himself was knowing is that there's abundant life in the arms of God, who is the shepherd. So there's no need, there's no want, there's nothing that's empty in your life if you have God to fill your life. I shall not want, I shall not lack anything. Well, five ways he describes this, and I'm following someone who has observed these things. And so I'm one here who was relaying a co-laborer's estimation and analysis of these things, but they're true. First, there's rest. There's rest. That's what the shepherd means, the psalmist means, when he says, the Lord makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Now, a certain shepherd who's written on these things, a shepherd looks at Psalm 23, perhaps you've read the book, has analyzed this and he said, you know, it's almost impossible to make sheep lie down. It's almost impossible to get them to rest because they're so needy. They're so needy. They need to be free from fear of enemies. They need to be free from parasites and fleas. Yes, they have those problems. They need to be in such a situation where their other sheep aren't bothering them. And they need to be free from hunger. They have to have all their needs met. And then maybe the shepherd can get them to lie down. Well, the good shepherd gives the people rest. Makes them to lie down. This is the pastoral setting for many a painting, making us to lie down beside the still waters. That's what Jesus does. Now, isn't that important to remember in the hustle and the bustle of life in these United States in the year of our Lord 2014? There's rest, and especially from the spiritual point of view, there's rest in God. There's rest and there's pardon over and over again when we blow it as parents, when we blow it as husband and wife and pastor and under shepherds and all the congregation, when we're not so faithful as we ought to be. There's rest in the forgiveness and peace that God gives to us freely through the Savior Jesus. Then, and again, I'm quickly just going here, there's guidance. And the psalmist speaks of that. He leads me beside quiet water. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his own sake. This author of this book, Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, says this as an expert. He says, sheep are the most stupid creatures that ever existed. Stupid. Why? They're prone to wander. Wander when they shouldn't wander. Wander when the pasture is good there and they look over there to the barren pastures or the pastures full of thorns. And they're not discriminating when they eat. They're those who would eat poisonous roots and thorns and thistles and so on. So foolish are the sheep. Besides that, even when they have good pasture, they'd eat it and destroy the pasture. They'd eat everything. Other animals don't do that. At least they leave part of the bark on the tree so the trees grow back. But the sheep, they'll devastate everything. And this has been documented in different countries where they have sheep far more than we do in America. But the shepherd, you see, guides and leads beside still water, guides in the paths of righteousness. And of course, spiritually, this means Jesus. He guides us. Stupid sheep. He guides us wisely. He guides us, though we may have all the experiences in the world and boast of great wisdom compared to this or that or the other person, because we're still stupid sheep. I say that stepping on toes. I'm including myself. This year, you're still a sheep. You haven't progressed to beyond that. And even the leaders of the church have got to be led. And the congregation has to be seen. We know we need to be led by God. And so the Good Shepherd gives guidance. That's part of the abundant life, you see. Jesus comes to give life that's a guided life, as well as a restful life. And then we go on. There's a safety. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's what the psalmist says. That's what Jesus is alluding to in John 10 when he says, I come to give life. It's a safe life. Life on the run, life looking over the shoulder is not really a life. It's a fleeing. It's not a peace with God and a wonderful boldness of God. There may even be an allusion here in the safety in Psalm 23, through the valley of the shadow of death, to the good pastures that are down in the valley in the winters and so on, but to the enemies that lurk there too, the wolves, or perhaps the floods that could come and could drown the sheep as they graze in a certain canyon. Well, there's that safety that the shepherd provides always to us. Look forward to this in 2014. And then there's the provision. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. There it is. The abundant provision of the Word of God. Let's just go right to the spiritual quick. The abundant provision of the Word of God. The green pastures of truth. However weakly presented by a weak sermon maker or pastor, it's powerfully God's way of leading us into the truth as it is in Jesus. And when you read the Word yourselves personally and as one of God's people, this Word is your pasture and it's what you feed on and you feed your children on as well. Finally, there's this heavenly home. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the psalmist's conviction. The abundant life, yes, is this life that lasts again over and over and forever to the heavenly home. We are being led by the shepherd. Now, how is this life had? Well, I just want to be brief here. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd over and over in John chapter 10. And I have come, he says, that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly. He's contrasting himself with thieves and robbers. And he says, all that ever came before me, every one who was a pretender and a fake, I'm not that. I am the one who gives life. And we need to remember this. Jesus and Jesus only comes. And his coming is about life-giving. And his pursuit of sheep is pursuit of them so that they may live. Jesus comes according to the counsel of God. Jesus comes and he is the mighty God. Later on in this chapter, he'll be saying that he is one with the Father, and the Jews will pick up stones because they think he's blaspheming, making himself equal with God. Jesus is saying here, you see, that he is preeminently qualified to be this shepherd of the sheep. That's why when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, alluding to Psalm 23, he's reminding us all that he's Jehovah God incarnate. What other kind of a shepherd do we need than God with us? Jesus, this Savior, sovereign shepherd. Isn't that exciting? To know as we go into a new year, and children and young people, we go into a new year, God is leading us by His Word, by His Spirit, holding us in His hand, leading us to just the right place, and to just where we ought to be as His sheep. I'm confident of that in this year. You too? Jesus is the way. He's the I Am. He's the man of God who sympathizes with us and our needs, who knows us, and who calls us each by name. You know that, don't you? That's one of the beautiful revelations of this chapter, that the abundant life means we receive abundant communication from Jesus, who is abundantly aware of every single need of the sheep. As we speak, Jesus knows. He knows your heart. He knows my heart. He knows what's going on in there. He knows what plans we're making. He knows our needs. He knows our frailty. He knows our temptations. He anticipates the need, bolsters us to walk uprightly. He's wonderful. And we receive him by the grace of God through faith. You do that, don't you, beloved? Believe in Jesus. Trust in him. Every single day, in every single situation. Oh, how we need to do that increasingly this year. Trust in Jesus. Know him and follow him. And that's what I would lead you to in the last point here. The thieves and the hirelings of our day are many. False shepherds. People who would lead even those who call themselves Christians astray. Entertainers who lead us to find abundant life in movies and the bijus of this world. There are the critics who criticize Jesus for being a hard shepherd, impossible shepherd to find. There are the salesmen and the saleswomen of the green-like pastures who say, well, you ought to go somewhere else. We have it greener over there. Come and see. Greener meaning maybe more entertaining. Greener meaning more with it. And you have a pastor there who seems to connect more because he relates to us and he tells a story and he brings a washing machine on the pulpit and he tells us that this is what it means that you're washed whiter than snow. And he uses these props and so on. And there's temptations, you see, to be dissatisfied where God has put you, placed you and led you and blessed you hitherto, whether it's in a church or in your own home. Not content with the man God gives or the woman God gives or the children or the parents. This restlessness of sheep, this is something we need to work on, all of us. But Jesus says, live it out and resist this quasi-life, this fake life that's being offered. You see, when Jesus says, I'm come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly, there's no doubt that he expects that the sheep will receive what he gives and will be glad for what he gives. Were you thankful for the Christmas presents you may have received this Christmas? What about being thankful for the life that Jesus gives and the abundance that he gives? What about showing it? By hearing Jesus, and this is the way, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and then following him wherever he leads, even though your path dripped with blood for Christ's sake. Is that you? Is that our resolution in this year? Discouraged people of God? I want to leave you with a couple of sections of Ezekiel 34. Discouraged? Look at this. Ezekiel 34, another shepherd chapter. For thus says the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. God loves us. God has sent His Son to give us life. And His Son gives us life this way, by laying down His voluntarily and in our place. This is God with us, dear ones. This is God, the saving God, who has proved His love, than which there's none greater, that this man, this shepherd man, lays down his life for his friends. So, let us walk in His love. Beloved flock of sovereign grace, see you in the pasture with Jesus, knowing the abundant life. Amen.